Heavenly Father, we just love you this morning. And Lord, we just thank you that you are a good Father, that you are perfect in all of your ways. Lord, even if we don't realize it, even if we just come to church every Sunday and we get caught in the routine, we're all guilty of it. God, ultimately, down in our heart, that's why we gather today, because we know that there is something better than our earthly bodies. There's something better than our good works. There's something better than this dead and broken world. There is a Creator in heaven who chose us in His Son Christ when He gave His Son for our sins. Lord, you are perfect in all of your ways. And God, we just pray, just like we witnessed last Sunday, that your Spirit would move, not because of what I do, not because of what we do, but because of what your Scripture does and what your Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. God, I just pray when we read through the Scripture, when I attempt to preach about your Scripture, God, that your Spirit would intercede and work on our behalf and plead on our behalf. Lord, break down those walls that we build up. Break down the lies that the devil has told to all of us that are here this morning. And God, work in our lives this morning that we may know the good Father, that we may know you through Jesus Christ this morning, that today would be the day of salvation in Fluvanna County and Fork Union at the intersection of Route 6 and Route 15. Today is the day of salvation, says the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give it up for Drew this morning? Thank you, Drew. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I love to preach, okay? So don't get me wrong, but I could just stay there in that time of worship and prayer for several hours. And that's my prayer, is that one day I'll save my sermon for next week. We're just going to worship for the next hour and a half or whatever. So that might happen one day, so just be ready. But that requires me to get out of the way and just go for it. So just be ready for that day, because I expect for God to do it. So Matthew chapter 7, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. Chapter 7, verse 21, and we're going to go all the way through the end of the chapter. I feel like it took us like 6 months to get through chapter 6 and 3 weeks to get through chapter 7, but that's just how the Lord works. So the last 2 weeks, just to give you a recap, we saw where Jesus was teaching about judging and not judging others. If you look back through verse 1 through 6 in chapter 7, he said, don't judge other people. We're to judge ourselves and not others. Be concerned about our sin before we start pointing out someone else's sin. But he also taught us that at some point, once we have judged ourselves, once we've let God work in our life, that we have to use that spiritual discernment on who to minister to, who to do things with, when to spend our time where, and what we're supposed to be doing. But we can't do that until we judge ourselves. Then last week we saw where Jesus expanded on judging ourselves. He told us that we have to start praying effectively. We have to pray every day. We have to be committed to seeking and knocking and asking God for His will, for His wisdom and His knowledge in our life and what we need. We want Him to work in our life. But we also talked about having the right motives when we pray. It's not about, we looked at King Solomon when he was praying. He didn't say, God, make my kingdom bigger, make me stronger, make me kill all my enemies for me. He said, give me wisdom so I can lead your people the way that you would want them led. We saw where Jesus taught us the golden rule. We're supposed to treat other people how we want to be treated. And he went on to teach about the two paths or the two gates. The narrow gate that's difficult that only few will ever find that leads to life. And the broad gate that most people will travel sadly, but it leads to hell. Just like we talk about with our youth group, just because everybody else is doing it, does not make it right. And lastly, Jesus told us to watch out for those false prophets. And he told us we can identify them by the fruit that they are producing in their life, or maybe they're not producing. It's one thing to preach to somebody else, but it's one thing to live what you're preaching, to practice what you're preaching. False prophets, just like a bad fruit tree, they're to be removed. And that's what Jesus told us. If you go to an orchard, if you have a bad apple tree or whatever, you cut it down and you throw it in the fire. You get rid of it. There's no place for it in the church. Jesus goes on to tell us, once we begin to start understanding how that we're supposed to judge ourselves, he goes on to tell us the reason that we are to judge ourselves now, and that's what we're going to talk about today. The reason that he wants us to judge us, and the reason that Jesus is warning us to start judging ourselves and looking at our own sin, is because the day is coming when judgment is going to come from God on us. God is going to judge us. So don't be distracted this morning. Don't sit here and just listen to another sermon this morning. Let God work on you this morning, because this is a serious topic, and it's about as deep and serious and down to the basics of our beliefs and our foundation of our faith as it gets. So let's read Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 29. True disciples, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we cast out demons in your name, and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds their house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes, and the torrents and the floodwaters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on the bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and the flood come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. I love verse 28. It says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed. Some translations say they were astonished. They were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you again, like we do every week, for your word and for your scripture. God, we thank you for the instruction book to life, not only here to live an abundant life here on earth, but life everlasting, and all the instructions and all the warnings to stay away from eternity in hell is right there in the book if we would just take it and apply it to our life. God, we know that you have a plan for our life. Lord, your word tells us that you have plans for us to prosper. You don't want to harm us. You don't want bad to come upon us. You want to give us life. Otherwise, you wouldn't have gave your son for our sin. So God, right now, I just pray for the next 30 minutes, Lord, or the next hour, however long it takes, God, that you will work in our hearts this morning. Work in our hearts and make us who you want us to be. Because you're the good Father. You're the perfect Creator. You made us, and you know the gifts you gave us, and you know the things that you have planned for us. God, I just pray that you will continue, maybe start that seed today, maybe water it, whatever it is, that you will grow us to be more like Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you're looking at your Bibles, all right, go back to last week's passage, if you will. And if you look at, and we're not going to go back through it. Don't worry. We're not going to re-preach the sermon. But if you look back at it, if you really think about it, if you look at the narrow gate, and if you look at the tree and their fruit, if you really think about it, they represent our life here on earth. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about our spiritual walk and our life here on earth. The narrow gate represents the beginning and us walking out our faith, where we decide to follow Jesus and we decide every day that we're going to continue on that road, that narrow gate. Then the two trees represent the growth of our spiritual life, like what is being produced from our walk with the Lord. What has our decision to follow Christ cost us in our life? Think about it. What has our decision to follow Christ changed in my life? What has the decision to follow Christ, what is it producing in my life? Is there any fruit being produced in my life because of my profession of faith? But see, today we're going to focus on the end of our life. And none of us know when that's going to be. See, I can spend my whole life worrying about what other people think of me, if they think I'm a good person, if they think that I'm a good Christian and all these things. But in the end, what really matters, and that's what Jesus is going to tell us this morning, what really matters is what God says about me. What really matters is what God says about each one of you. Maybe somebody who's listening online, or maybe here, everybody. What really matters on Judgment Day is what God says about us. Look back at verse 21 through 23 in chapter 7. I'm going to read it again. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and we cast out demons. You know, I got to go back and read that again. On judgment day, I believe many will say, Lord, Lord. But we did all these things. We prophesied in your name. We cast out demons and we performed many miracles in your name. And Jesus says, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. See, it's so easy to learn to look like a Christian. It's so easy for us, especially in the American culture, for us to look like a Christian, to act like a Christian. In fact, it's easy, if you're not careful, to teach your children to be pretending Christians or to act like a Christian. Really think about it. Just really think about it. Don't throw something at me this morning, okay? I'm not telling you it's wrong to teach your kids to pray. I'm not trying to tell you that, okay? But listen, really step outside of yourself for a second and think about it. We teach our kids to dress a certain way for church. Nothing wrong with dressing up for church, but just listen, hear me out. Don't shut off on me this morning. We teach them how to pray. We say, you put your hands together and you must bow and you must close your eyes to pray. And you must do it this way. We teach them to act a certain way in church. We got to be on our best behavior. Hey, I'm all about wearing a kid's tail out if they need it. Okay, I'm not preaching against, against disciplining your children. All right, but hear me out. We teach them that the church is a building that we come sit in. We're going to church, right? We're going to church today. Get your clothes on. I know you ain't brushed your hair all week. You ain't taking a shower all week. But it's Sunday. We're going to church. Everybody's going to be there. You need to clean up. Let's go to church. We're going to church. We sing some songs, we hear a sermon, and then we put all that on the shelf and we don't worry about it until the next Sunday when we come to church. We can even get baptized, we can get a certificate. And again, I'm not teaching I'm not telling you this morning that teaching our kids how to pray and the importance of prayer, bringing them to church is not bad. They should be baptized when they, all those things. But even with the right intentions, we have to be careful because our children can learn, we can learn as adults, or we can teach them even, how to act like a Christian. Are y'all with me this morning? Have I totally lost you? Y'all, okay. You good? All right. Because I don't want to go any further until I know I haven't just totally shut y'all off this morning. We can have all the right intentions and never actually become a Christ follower. We can act like a Christian all we want and never really become a Christ follower. Oh, Pastor, how can you say that this morning? How can you say that? I can say that because I am a product of that. I grew up in the church. I went to VBS. I have godly parents who are here today who are Christians. I went to VBS. I had a grandfather who was a minister for years. I knew how to pray. I knew how to go to church. I knew about Jesus. I knew about God. And when things went bad in my life, I knew how to pray. I was even baptized when I was about 8 years old. But I never in my heart decided to actually become a Christ follower. See, the Word tells us, the Bible tells us, and we'll get into that eventually even more, especially in the book of Luke. Jesus tells us what the cost of being a disciple is. And it's pretty heavy. I have to decide, you have to decide to actually follow Christ. See, until I personally made the decision to take that narrow gate, when I came to the intersection in life and I said, you know what am I going to do? Am I going to choose the world? Am I going to choose my sin? Am I going to choose the popular way? Or am I going to choose the narrow gate? Until I got to that point in my life, I really wasn't a Christian. I might have been religious, but I wasn't a Christian. You see, becoming a Christian is a life altering decision. It's a game-changing decision that we each have to make individually. My granddad can't make it for me. My parents can't make it. My VBS teachers, they can't make it for me. I have to do it. And that decision means that each of us have to actually choose not to be a Christian, but to follow Christ. Not just accepting Jesus as my Savior. We always say, oh, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. But most of the time, if we're really honest, Jesus, it might be our Savior, but we don't allow him to be our Lord, right? Because somebody who's our Lord has authority over us, can tell us what to do, and we say, yes, sir, and we listen, right? When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us, John tells us what? We are born again. Jesus tells us we're born again. We're a new creation. We're a child of God. That means we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We have the Spirit of God living in our hearts. Think about that for a second. Boy, we just throw that around like cheap perfumes. Now we're just like, so the Holy Spirit, we got the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And we're thinking about what we're going to barbecue for lunch afterwards, right? I'm guilty of it. That's why I can preach it. We have the Spirit of God available to us. Church, are you listening this morning? We have the Spirit of God in us. We are a new creation in Christ. We are no longer who we used to be. We're a child of God. And that's a promise that God gives us in His Word. Therefore, we should be controlled by God. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us here. He says, you know what? He said, get away from me. Get away from me because you never listened to me. I was never your Lord. So don't come to me all of a sudden on judgment day and say, oh, but God, we did all these great things. I did all this great stuff. But what did you ever allow me to do in your life? Why didn't you ever listen to me? Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says this. It says, but you are not controlled. He's talking to believers. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do have the Spirit of Christ living in them, or do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them, do not belong to Him at all. That's some pretty serious words, but it's the same scripture that tells us that God will give us the peace that surpasses all understanding, that God has good plans for our life. That is just as true as this, okay? So we have to take all of it and apply it to our life. You see, when a person is truly born again, when a person truly decides, I'm going to be a Christian or I'm going to be a Christ follower, we have to let God have the reins. You know, most church people, most Christians in America, it's like they're saying, okay, God, I trust you to take this horse wherever it's going to go. I trust you. But just in case, I'm going to hold back on the reins because I don't want the horse to go this direction because that doesn't suit me, right? Are we letting God control us? When we really accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we really accept the fact that even while we were sinners, even though there's nothing we can do to earn it, God still loved us enough to give Christ to die for us for our sins, this love should motivate us to begin to obey God. Is this making sense this morning? This kind of love, this kind of sacrifice should motivate us to want to make Jesus the Lord of our life and say, God, it's no longer about me. It's about you. You did all this for me, even though I am wretched and I am a sinner. It's all about you from this point forward. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No. Does that mean that we're never going to be selfish again? No. But ultimately, we go back to that place where we say, nope. I've been going this way. I need to turn around and say, I made this decision. I don't care if you were 8 years old or if it was yesterday or if it ends up being at the end of the service. We make that decision. We say, from right here, I'm driving a stake in the ground. And every time I get confused, I'm going to go back to that and say, nope, I'm a new creation. I'm a child of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says this, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. Here's a promise. It's not going to lead to disappointment. It's worth it. See, we think following God is some awful, daunting task. Like, I don't know, it scares me. I don't know if I should really commit to God because what if it changes this or what if it changes that? Paul says this, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. You know what will lead to disappointment? Chasing after the world. You know what will lead to disappointment? Chasing after your own ambitions and your own desires. You know what will lead to disappointment is staying wrapped up in bondage of your sin and your worry and whatever it is that God has got, that Satan's got you and that you won't let God deliver you from. That's what's going to lead to disappointment. He goes on to say this, for we know how dearly God loves us. God loves you this morning. He said, goes on to say, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. It's impossible to follow Christ without allowing the Holy Spirit and the love that it produces in our life to work through our life. You see, the love that was displayed on the cross for me, the love that was displayed on the cross for you, should drive me to obey God's will for my life. Every time I think, oh, I don't know, God, I don't know, that's asking too much. You know, I'll do this for you, I'll do that for you, but God, I don't know about that. If he lays something on my heart and I say, that's asking too much. Think of Jesus when they were getting ready to nail him to the cross. If he'd have said, you know what, God, that's too much. Think where we'd be right now then. Jesus said that on judgment day, there will be many people who will say, Lord, Lord, but I did this and I did that. I did all these great things in your name. And all the while, Jesus is asking this question, but did you know me? Did you know me? Did you really know me? Or did you just come and look at a cross on Sunday mornings and hear a good sermon? Hopefully it's a good sermon. And hear a sermon and just go about your way and live for the world. Did you know me? Did you personally know me? Did you ever spend time with me? Did you ever like ask like, God, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? That's what Jesus is asking us here. He says, if you really know Jesus, if you really know me, if you really have the Spirit of God living in us and we're really going to trust God and trust him at his word, it will motivate us to follow God. It'll motivate us to follow his will and his law and his perfect instructions. Religious works, I don't care if you're a preacher, a pastor, you're casting out demons, you're doing miracles, I don't care if you go on a missions trip and you move to Africa. If you play a guitar, you play the piano on Sunday mornings, you usher, you teach at Sunday school, you're a deacon, you serve for many years in the church. All these are good things and they're great. But they give absolutely no assurance for salvation. None. Instead, it should work the other way. We should accept Jesus Christ. We should have the Spirit of God in us. And we should say, God, what do you want from me? And then he says, I want you to start serving in the church. And then you start serving in the church, and it's a whole other attitude that you'll have about it. Because you say, man, I'm doing this unto the Lord, just like Bobby talked about last week. We're doing it unto the Lord instead of doing it to earn some kind of favor of God. We are to believe that Jesus died for our sins, accept this forgiveness, and simply say, what do you want? What do you want, God? I'm all yours. You gave it all for me. What can I give to you? It's not enough to own a Bible. It's not enough to memorize those verses that help us in difficult times. We have to apply the instructions in the Scripture, and we have to apply them every single day in our life. I don't know about you, but I got to apply it every single minute of my life. James chapter 1, verse 22 says this, but don't just listen to God's word. Don't just listen to it. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. The church is full of good listeners, okay? I'm not just talking about this church. I'm talking about the church. The church, especially now, and it was even then. If you go back, if you don't believe me, go back and read 1 and 2 Corinthians. There was a church, they were full of good listeners. There's someone here today who's been listening, maybe for a long time, but they're not doing God's word. Just like I used to do, and I still fall short all the time. There's somebody here today that says, you know what? I've been listening to God's word. I've been listening to it time and time again. I grew up in the church, whatever. But am I a doer of the word? Do I actually do what God says to do? See, this is when we really learn what God's will is for our life. It took me 31, 32 years of my life to really, the light bulb to click on with this. This is when we find out who we were created to be. This is what we were when we find out why we were created. This is when we stop being controlled by our sinful nature and worrying about what other people think of us and all those other things. When we take the time to read the Bible, we read the Scripture, it's right there. All we have to do is pick it up and open it, flip it open, and just start reading. Amen, brother. Thank you. All we have to do is open the instruction book. When we take what we hear in the sermons, when we take what God is maybe laying on our heart, maybe we had a dream, maybe God's just been convicting us every Sunday, or maybe in our own time, when we take that and we live it out and we walk it out, when we apply it to our everyday life, this is when we really begin to bear that good fruit that Jesus was talking about last week. Do you know Jesus? Before we go to the next chunk of Scripture, ask yourself, do I know Jesus? Does he know me? Do we spend time together? Have I actually decided to follow his will for my life? Remember, Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says what? It won't lead to disappointment. This hope will not disappoint you. Go down to verse 24 through 27. Let's read that again. Anyone who listens, there he is telling you again, he says, listens to my teaching and follows it. Okay, it's not enough just to listen to it. It's not enough just to hear Jesus' teaching. Here he is telling us exactly what James told us. Anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise. It's like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes and torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and the floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And I want you to again listen this morning. Notice that Jesus tells us again that we don't only listen to his teachings, we have to follow it. That's what it means to be a Christ follower, is we're following Christ. We do it what Jesus tells us to do. Well, Jesus, what are you asking? What are you laying on my heart? What am I going to do? Accepting Christ, coming forward to getting baptized, that's just the very beginning of what God has for you and what God has for me. That's the very, very, just the very little tiny beginning that God wants to do in your life. That's you telling the world that you've came to that intersection and that you've been traveling on the road. You say, Hey, everybody, I'm coming forward at the end of the service, or I'm coming forward whenever, or at a revival service or a church service or whatever, and I'm saying to the world, I'm no longer going down that way. I'm choosing the narrow gate. That's all that is. That's us telling, say, hey, what I've decided in my heart, I want everybody to know where I'm going. Hey, everybody, I know I was right there with you in the left lane on the interstate to hell, right? But I saw the exit to life. I saw that I was headed to death and I saw the exit of life. This is the way. This is where I'm going. Why don't you come with me? That's what it means when you come forward and you get baptized. This is the new direction I'm going in. You see, both builders, if you look in this parable, they had a desire to build a house, right? So they were similar in that respect. They were like, they're both going to build a house. It didn't say the guy that built the house on the sand was like, I'm going to build a really awful house. You know what I mean? He didn't say that. He said they both were builders, and both houses probably look sturdy from the outside. In fact, I always picture the one that's on the sand. I always picture it being one of those really, really nice houses right on the beach. The one that I'm sitting in the hotel room, and I'm looking over, and I'm going, man, I wish I could afford to stay in that. You know what I mean? Like that really nice, like color, like really beach-colored house, and it's just right on the beach. It's got its own private swimming pool and all. That's what I picture when I picture this house on the sand. It may look even nicer than the house that's built on the rock until the storm comes, right? Living at the beach always sounds good, right? Like, man, one of these days I'm going to retire and I'm going to live at the beach. If I was rich, I'd have a house at the beach. But I bet you wouldn't say that when a hurricane season comes, would you? All of a sudden you're like, man, I miss my home back in Virginia. You know, we got some rain, but, you know, it wasn't like this. Living on the beachfront, living on the sand, it sounds so nice until the hurricane comes, when the storm comes. When we focus on what's on the surface, what we're doing is we're neglecting the foundation. We're focusing more on what's on the surface than we are on what's underneath and what really counts. The same is with our heart. See, it will only last for a season. When tragedy hits, when bad news hits, when poverty hits us, when temptation hits us, whatever it is, if we're truly built on how we learn to be a Christian, all of our strength and all of our foundation is us going to church our whole life, if maybe our foundation is only built on our plans and our will in life, if our security and all those things are built on worldly things and worldly possessions, we're quickly going to realize sooner or later, probably sooner rather than later, that our foundation is really shallow and it's weak. How unstable we really are. Every time I'm doing something dangerous around the house, if I'm, you know what dads do, right? I mean, we should get the ladder and have somebody hold it, but instead you got like 2 5-gallon buckets and you got something going across that with the ladder on top of that or whatever. Lily always has this little way of saying it. She says, Dad, that's pretty sketch. Or she'll be explaining to me what she was doing. I climbed a tree, Dad. I did this, whatever. She says, it was so sketch, Dad. It was sketch. That's how it is. When we build our life on worldly things, we build our lives out on the sand, it's sketchy. It's only going to last for a while. It's dangerous. Listen to what Luke recorded about this parable. Listen to what he says. Luke chapter 6, verse 48 says, it's like a person building a house who digs deep. I love that. Who digs deep and lays a foundation on solid rock. When the flood water rises and breaks against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. That's why Jesus tells us to listen to his teaching and follow it. Actually do what he tells us to do. There's too many Christians, there's too many people who call themselves Christians living on the surface of Christianity. Where are the Christians who will dig deeper this morning? Where are the Christians who will dig deeper into God's word and God's will for their life? Where are the congregations who will individually say, you know what, I'm going to dig deeper for the purpose of God's will and God's church and his glory, just like we sang about? Where are the pastors and the other leaders in the church who will dig deeper into God's word? See, this is a real problem in the church today. Folks, it's a real problem. It's a real problem individually. It's a real problem in the church. Many are happy just living out on the sand. They're just happy living on the sandy surface. Even though they've read this passage, even though they've heard it preached, even though, you know, they're active members of their church, even some leaders in the church, they're happy living on the surface. They don't want to dig any deeper. They don't want to really follow God's will for their life. And you know why? It's because they're scared. They're afraid. And I can tell you that because I've been there. And I'm still there sometimes when God calls me to do something. They're afraid of what it's going to cost you. I'm afraid of what it's going to cost me. You're afraid of what it's going to cost you if you're really honest. That's why you don't give your life to Christ. What's it going to cost me? What is he going to call me to step away from? What's he going to call me to step into? What sin is he going to convict me of that I need to get rid of, that I really enjoy? Yeah, I know my foundation is weak, and I know it won't last forever, but I'm going to enjoy this beach view for just a few more days. Maybe until next Sunday I'll enjoy it, and then I'll decide to follow Christ. Yeah, I believe in the Bible. I believe in Jesus. I believe in him. That's what the Bible says. If you know, all who believe in him have eternal life. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Judgment Day. But I still have some time. I still have some time. I'll follow God later in life. I got stuff I need to take care of. My business is going so good, or this is going so great, or I don't want to give this up yet, what if God called me to move, or what if God called me to do this? I don't have time right now. I'm busy. The problem with this way of thinking is this. The storm that Jesus is talking about here is more than just those trials in life. Listen to me, church. Listen to God this morning. You have to look at what Jesus has been talking about over this entire chapter. What has he been talking about? Somebody say, what have we been talking about the last 3 weeks? Judgment, right? He's been talking about judgment. You have to look at what Jesus has been talking about through the entire chapter. Jesus is talking about the judgment of God in this passage. And just like the storms that come unexpectedly, when the storm hits, it's too late to focus on the foundation. Just like a house that's built on the sand, it may look solid, but when the storm hits, it's too late. It's too late. So it is with a profession of faith. A false profession of faith may look good on the surface. It may have everybody else fooled. Sometimes we can even fool ourselves. But when we stand before God Almighty, who is perfect and holy, and cannot be in the presence of sin, it's too late to worry about our foundation at that point. Now, I want to be clear today with something. I know this is heavy, and I know this is y'all like, Greg, Dave's beating up on us. First of all, I'm not beating up on you. God's word is, because it's the truth. I want to be clear about something. This is not mean, and this is not meant to scare you into Christianity. This is not meant you to I'm not, you know, screaming up here at you or anything like that, to scare you into coming forward and saying, I want to follow Christ this morning. It's there as a warning. It's a warning. It's a plea. It's a warning. Just like Jesus warned us about criticizing others, how we're not to do that. Just like he warned us about the broad gate that leads to hell. Just like he warned about false prophets that are in the church and that couldn't infiltrate the church. He simply is warning us not to be the one who waits until it's too late. Is that making sense this morning? He doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want us to be the person who comes up to the gate and says, Lord, Lord, but we did all these things and whatever. And he doesn't want, he wants to know you. He wants you to know him today. He simply is warning us not to wait to the storm, to worry about the foundation. Start today. If you don't know, start today. If you know that you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart, start today. So as we close today, I want us to look at verse 28 through 29. And we're just going to stay there for just a second as we close. Look at verse 28, 29. It says this, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings. For he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. I hope this morning that you are amazed by this sermon. I hope you are. You know why? Because it's the best sermon that's ever been preached. This morning is the best sermon that's ever been preached. Some of y'all are looking at me like, what, did he really just say that? Amen. Did he really just, I didn't even get an amen. Yeah, okay, let's do that again. This is the best sermon that's ever been preached this morning. Amen. But I want you to remember, it's not my sermon, it's Jesus' sermon. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the best sermon that's ever been preached because it's Jesus' sermon. Ever since chapter 5, we've been going through that Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has been up on the mountain for quite a while. All right, we started back in chapter 5, like back in January. I hope we're amazed this morning, today, at the divine authority of Jesus Christ and his teachings and what he has taught us. Not the words I've said, but what he recorded in the Holy Scriptures. I hope we all realize that we're supposed to be doers of the word. We're not just supposed to listen to it. We're supposed to pick it up and say, God, what do you want me to do? I've read the truth. I know what it is. What do you want me to do with it? What do you, have your own way. Have thine way with me, God. Have your way in my life. I hope we will allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives today like we saw last week. And I hope that we will realize that we must each decide to follow Jesus Christ. Again, my godly parents, my church membership, my grandfather, who was a pastor and a godly man, he can't decide for me. They can't decide for me. The church can't decide for me. We all must individually bow before Jesus Christ, submit to him, submit to his authority, or we're going to be condemned. That's the truth. It's the truth this morning. So how do we start this journey? How do we start? I don't want to be condemned. I want to know Jesus Christ. How do we start the journey? It starts right now in this moment. Will I follow what God is asking me to do? That could be a new ministry. That could be getting out of your comfort zone and coming forward this morning and saying, I'm decided I'm going to follow Jesus. That could be going on your first missions trip across the ocean. That could be maybe praying with a coworker. No matter how big or how small you think it is, that's how you start the journey. You say, God, what is it? What is it that you want to tell me today when I read your word? What do you have for me? And what do you want me to do? Will I do the will of the Heavenly Father, of my Heavenly Father? Will I build on that solid foundation? Or am I just content staying out on the sand and just pretending that day of judgment isn't coming? And pretending that I got some kind of control over when it comes. Because we don't. I don't know about you, but the Bible that I read says it's going to come like a thief in the night. Why in the world would we wait when it's right here available for us today? If God is calling you this morning, whatever it is that God has laid on your heart this morning, if you need prayer, come as we sing. Let's stand and let's sing this closing song. The information of the words are also in your bulletin. Again, let the Holy Spirit work in your life today. That's where it all starts, is when you say, here I am, God. Have thine own way. Amen. Amen. God is good. I'm just so thankful for everybody that has come out. I hope the Facebook Live worked this week. He's giving me a thumbs up. So praise God for that. We've been struggling with that for the last couple weeks. God is doing great things here at Fork Union Baptist Church. And it takes the whole body, it takes everybody together to accomplish God's will in his church. But it also takes us each individually bowing before him and saying, God, have thine own way. And so that's my prayer this week, that we will all individually, it's where it has to start, that we will say, you know what, I'm going to be a Christ follower. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just love you. Again, Lord, we just thank you, God, that we have the ability to come to you a God who is perfect and holy. God, that you made a way. You chose to make a way for everybody who chooses that narrow gate, who chooses their faith in Jesus Christ, to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. You made a way for that we can come to you. We don't have to practice any religious ceremonies, God. All we have to do is just talk to you, just like we're doing now. So God, just pray, Lord, that you would continue to just, that Holy Spirit that we have dwelling in us, God, that it would just bubble up, that it would just keep bubbling up in us, God, and we would just say, you know what? I got to do something with it. God gave me this for a reason. Lord, don't let us listen to the devil this week. Don't let us listen to the false prophets. Don't let us listen to the bad theology and all the junk that's out in the world that the devil just loves. God, let us listen to the truth this week. Let us go to your word and listen to the truth. Lord, be with us this week. Guard us from the evil one. Watch over us so we can come back next week and share testimonies of what you've done in our life and worship you for what you've done in our life. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you.